Hello, everyone, and welcome to
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
This is episode 127. You're all very welcome, particularly any new listeners who are listening to us for the first time. Craig and I have over 40 years of teaching between us, and we'll help you improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, we're going to look at 9 words that don't really have a direct translation in English. We've called this episode 9 Spanish words we need in English that we just don't have. But first, we're going to kick off with a little bit of listener feedback from Javier from Tolosa, who has sent us this audio feedback.
Hi guys, this is Javier from Tolosa. I'm with you every week, you know. Thank you very much. And I have a question between life expectation or life expectancy. Which is correct? Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Javier, for sending us your feedback, asking about the difference between life expectation and life expectancy. Just one small thing, Javier, that when you say the word expectancy, you misplace the stress on expectancy. It has 4 syllables, expectancy. And you need to place the stress on the second syllable. So expectancy. Expectancy. Life expectancy. Reza, what's the difference?
For me, life expectation means what you expect, your dreams, your hopes, your ambitions, your plans, what you would like to happen in your life. For me, that's your life expectation. Well, it's probably plural in most cases, life expectations. Whereas your life expectancy is how long you're going to live.
Right. So what's your lifespan then? S-P-A-N, the span of your life.
Exactly the same as life expectancy, in my opinion. I can't see a difference. For me, they're synonyms.
I don't agree. I think with that, expect is what you are predicting for the future, but it's not for sure. Whereas a lifespan will be the number of years that you live for.
Okay, but you said life expect, but distinguish between expectation and expectancy, though. Expect's the verb, but what about the two nouns?
Expectancy is the amount of time, in this case, that I would expect to live.
Ah, in the future, but you haven't lived it yet.
Maybe based on previous evidence. For example, the life expectancy of a human is 70, 75 years on average. The life expectancy of a dog is maybe 15, 16 years.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
Yep, I see your point. You've convinced me. Whereas the lifespan is actually how long someone lived?
Yes, concretely how long specifically they actually live for.
Got you. Yep. I think you're right. That's a better distinction between the two. I agree.
So we hope that explains things to you, Javier. If you have any more questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. Nine Spanish words we need in English. Now, the first word we have, G-U-I-R-I. I always thought when I heard it, it was pronounced giddy, G-I-D-D-Y. And then I realized it's giddy, which is...
But hold on, it's not.
Isn't it?
It's pronounced giddy.
It's pronounced giddy with a D.
What? No, I'm lost now.
Say this word, G-I-D-D-Y.
This is a Spanish word, yeah? Imagine.
Imagine.
Spell it again.
An English word, G-I-D-D-Y.
Giddy.
Now say this word, G-U-I-R-E.
But it's a Spanish word.
Yeah.
Giddy.
Sounds the same to me.
Oh.
Although the der in Spanish is a bit softer.
Okay, right. Yeah, see, but they're similar, yeah.
So it's not hard D, it's a soft D. I don't think we'll put this in. I'm just curious.
I see your point. They're similar, but not exactly the same, though. It is a R sound, but a smooth one.
But before I saw it written, yeah. I just assumed that you write it G-I-D-D-Y. Like giddy, like when you've drunk too much wine.
Yes.
So our first word, giddy, is a foreigner, usually a tourist, who happens to be in Spain and who stands out as being pretty obviously not a local, not Spanish. Do you agree with that definition of giddy?
Sounds good to me.
So maybe in South or Central America, in Latin America, they might say gringo. That's that idea of people like my dad who walks around Spain in socks and sandals and very English clothes and has a typically English behavior in a foreign country, in Spain, for example.
Does your dad go looking for the sun in Spain when it's really hot? Will he walk on the sunny side of the street while Spaniards stay in the shade?
No, and I don't think that giddies look for the sun when they're walking on the street. I just think it's something they don't think about. Mm-hmm. Because in the UK, when it's sunny, it's not as sunny as here. It's not as hot. So I don't think giddies walk on the sunny side of the street to get a suntan, to be in the sun. They just don't think. They don't think maybe they could cross the street and go where it's cooler, where there's some shade. It doesn't occur to them. They don't think about that sort of thing.
And they do go out in the midday sun here in summer, and Spaniards tend to avoid the summer midday sun, don't they?
Only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
That's a famous line from a song or a poem or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
You often hear.
Do you think that en español los guiris hacen más ruido los españoles?
Nope, I still think the Spanish make more noise than us here in Spain.
What about when they've been drinking?
Ah, okay, that's a bit different. Yes, if you go to Magaluf or Costa del Sol,
Benidorm,
and it's Benidorm 2 o'clock in the morning, the Guiris have had a lot of drink. Then they may be noisier than the Spanish. But when they're sober, perhaps the Spanish are still noisier.
Now I agree with that. I think sober, the Spanish are noisier, especially in bars and restaurants. But after a few beers, a few drinks, some wine, I think the Brits particularly are generally noisier than the Spanish.
Craig, what's our second word on the list of Spanish words we foreigners need?
Our second word is estrenar, which is to wear or use something for the first time. Also to when you go to a job or if you begin a different post or position in your job, then you could say in Spanish, estoy estrenando, a new post or position. But also films in the cinema, un estreno. How would you say that in English, estreno? Because I'm not sure how to translate that, and it's a very common word in Spanish.
Do you mean like the first time the film is shown in the cinema?
Exactly.
I would call that just to release a film, or it's a film premiere.
Yeah. And when a play, for example, or a concert is performed for the first time, that would also be a debut or a premiere. So we use the French words, don't we?
Debut, that's a good word, yeah. Premiere and debut. We've got two French words for estrenar, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not quite easy to translate directly from estrenar to English. What's the next one, Reza?
The next one's a funny word for me. Espabilar.
Yeah, I like that word. It's got like P's and B's, and it's babababababa. Espabilar.
Espabilar. It's like kind of to liven up or to hurry up, to get your act together.
Espabilar.
Something like that. Or just to wake up, get a move on, move yourself, all of those. There's so many ways to translate it in English, but we envy you in Spanish. You can do all those things with just one word. Espabilate.
Move your ass. Get your ass in gear or the bank will be closed. What does that mean, to get your ass in gear?
Mueve el culo.
Yeah, exactly.
Mueve el culo.
Gear is marcha. Pone tu culo en marcha. Get your ass in gear or the bank will be closed. Move yourself. Cachondeo is number four.
That's a nice word because I like a bit of cachondeo. Messing about, joking, telling jokes, having a good laugh. It's a good word.
And it's a noun, isn't it? Cachondeo?
Cachondeo is a noun.
Estaban de cachondeo, do you say?
Estaban de cachondeo.
They were messing around, they were joking around, they were laughing about, perhaps, the phrasal verb to laugh about or joke about. The verb cachondearse to laugh at. How would you say that in a more kind of slang street expression?
To take the mickey, or to mock or ridicule someone would be more formal. But to take the mickey, beg your pardon, to take the mickey is a more informal version.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For example, no te enfades que te estoy de cachondeo. Don't be offended, I'm just taking the mickey. Also, it can be kind of like just a lack of seriousness, can't it? It's like, esto es un cachondeo. Aquí nadie hace lo que debe hacer. It's like, come on, nobody's taking this seriously. This is just a joke. This is for a laugh for you. So you can express anger by saying, you know, this is a cachondeo. It's a joke. It's a laugh. Please be serious.
Exactly.
It's a useful word, isn't it?
It is very useful. And I don't use it, but I like it. I'm going to try to use it in the future, cachondeo.
Well, Craig, I think you should do the next word since you're one of these and I'm not. What is it?
Autónomo. Yeah, autónomo, which we kind of have, like, to, you could say in English, I'm a registered self-employed person. I'm self-employed. I work for myself. You can also say I'm independent. I'm self-sufficient. I think autónomo means all of these things. Yeah. It also refers to freelancers. If you are a freelancer, you work for yourself. If you're a contractor, you're working for yourself. Maybe you're self-employed. So all of those things are kind of come together for the word autónomo. An example, una mujer autónoma que vive independiente. She's a self-sufficient woman. She's a self-sufficient woman who lives independently. Before we continue with number six, a quick mention of our sponsor, Italki, who regular listeners will know it's a wonderful marketplace, a great place to go on the web to find a one-to-one personal teacher. We've been working with Italki as our sponsor for over a year now, and we're very, very happy with the feedback we get from our listeners about their service. Many of our listeners go to Italki because they want to speak to a personal one-to-one teacher on Skype, and they've said that their English really improves having that one-to-one attention. It's very convenient because you can learn when you want to learn. You choose your teacher and you choose the time you're learning with that teacher. And it's very affordable because there's no middleman. There's no school in the middle. So the pricing is very, very competitive. If you'd like more information, if you're interested in trying Italki, they're offering 100 free credits if you sign up through our webpage at inglespodcast.com/Italki. And Reza and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza E. Craig. Reza, what's number six?
Number six is a word which I find funny, and it describes me quite often in certain circumstances. Un pagafantas.
Un pagafantas. What's that?
It's quite hard to get an exact translation in English, but maybe something like a mug or a chump. A mug or a chump. I beg your pardon.
A chump.
C-H-U-M-P, chump. So a mug. I'm not talking about a mug to drink from, tazón. This is another type of mug. A silly person. A type of person like the guy who buys drinks for girls. He's nice to them, treats them really well, but they're not really interested in him. They only want the drink and then they'll be gone.
So they're in it for the money. Not for the companionship.
You pagar la fanta, I suppose, pagar fantas. But in English, we haven't got such a colorful word.
I like it. A fanta buyer. Yeah. But probably someone who buys restaurant meals and expensive dinners and that kind of thing, and maybe champagne. And they're taken advantage of by a woman or a man. Funcionario is number seven. Funcionario, which I hear a lot in my classes. Mm. People who are taking oposiciones because they want to be a funcionario. How would you explain that in English?
Well, the first word that comes to mind is civil servant. Mm-hmm. That's the person who works for the government. But there, I guess, other possible translations, maybe a clerk, some people say, or an official. For example, la ambición de mi primo es ser funcionario. How might we translate that one?
My cousin's ambition is to be a clerk or clerk. I think one's American. I think clerk is American and clerk is English, British English. I'm not too sure, but either pronunciation is acceptable.
The next one is a very useful word in Spanish. And in English, we just have to keep translating it differently in every different situation. Alta and baja. Mm-hmm. Ooh, where to begin? These words have multiple meanings. Where could we start with this, Craig?
Well, when I think of those two words, obviously you could say alta as being high and above and baja as being low, near the ground. But I like the expression dar de alta, dar de baja. Yeah. And I immediately think of hospitals.
Oh, yes.
Because my family have been sick over the last few years. I had problems with my family's illness. So commonly they're going into hospital, which is to go to hospital. And then to be discharged from hospital is to tener alta. So I make that connection with the hospital. Mm-hmm. But there are other meanings, aren't there?
Yeah, for example, if you're if you sign on the dole, el paro, the dole, or social security, that would be dar de alta en la seguridad social. And then when it finishes, you sign off the dole or social security. That's dar de baja de la seguridad social. You can do it in just a word Spanish, alta la baja, but we have to use so many words to say it in English.
Mm-hmm.
Or just register or unregister for things. For example, people come to the British Council in Valencia, where we work, and they want to dar de alta. They want to register for a class at the British Council. Or maybe they want to dar de baja, unregister for a class.
Also, if you subscribe to a newsletter or if you subscribe to a course on the internet or a web page, dar de alta is to subscribe, and the opposite of subscribe is unsubscribe, which is dar de baja. So, for example, we have a newsletter, un cuaderno de inglés, that we send every 2 weeks to people who subscribe to our newsletter on mansioningles.com. So if you'd like a free newsletter, you can go there and subscribe. So to subscribe for a newsletter is dar de alta.
There's one other important use in the world of work. When you're sick, you might have to dar de baja, and that means you'll have to get a sick line or a sick note
from
your
doctor.
Did you say
sick line? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Okay, all right.
A sick note is a sick line in Belfast.
It could be a Belfast thing, yeah.
Okay.
A sick line or a sick note or a doctor's note.
A doctor's note, I would say.
Yep. And the opposite these days is quite a new expression. They call dar de alta is a statement of fitness for work.
Okay.
And that's what's called. That changed a few years ago. That's a new expression. And in Spanish, alta. It's much quicker than statement of fitness for work,
yeah,
isn't it?
They've made it more formal and more official. Number 9, I think, is one of your favorite words. You've got a love-hate relationship with it, and it's yeah.
Yeah.
Y-A, yeah. Why does this word create so many, cause so many emotions in your Spanish vocabulary, Reza?
¿Por qué? Yeah. ¿Dónde empezar? well, that's it. It has so many uses, doesn't it? So many. But I don't like it when, well, I say I don't like it. I laugh at the same time when people use it to be rude. Because it is so effective if you want to be rude. So it can just mean yes, can it? It's like, ¿quieres un vaso de agua?
Yeah. Yes.
Or that's right. Could be. It's like, tú eres Craig, no? Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice enough. But then when it's things which are not so nice, like told you so, it's like, don't touch that plate. It's very hot. You know, you touch it. You know, in Spanish, and you burn yourself. Oh, me quemado. I burnt myself. And the other person will say, yeah.
Yeah.
Told you so.
It goes up and down, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're going to touch it, you know, I did warn you.
So in that case, it means obviously. Yeah. Or what did you expect?
I told you so.
I told you so. It's your fault.
cayeron la cuenta de, oh, I see. Oh, ya veo. I see what you mean. It's like, I didn't understand something. No entiendo. You explain it again. And then they go, ah, yeah. I see what you mean.
It's like saying yes, isn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or stop talking. As Craig knows, I talk too much. And
no.
And in Spanish, if he thought in Spanish, I don't know if he does, maybe sometimes he would think, yeah.
Basta,
stop, yeah. Stop talking.
It's like, basta, yeah. Enough already.
And often I tell things, Craig things he already knows. And he probably thinks, yeah, I already know that. Would that be the translation of that? Yeah, yes, I already know that. You don't need to tell me it because I already know. In Spanish, yeah. In a word, you can do that.
It's also a time expression, isn't it? You can say, you can use it like ahora mismo, like now. For example, quiero que entres en casa ya. I want you to go into the house now. Or ya se acabó. It's all over now. So that idea of immediacy with now.
Are there any more you can think of for that word?
Well, similarly, as another, the same word, but a different time expression, anteriormente, you could say already. For example, la policía ya había detenido al ladrón en dos ocasiones. In English would be, the police had already detained the thief on two occasions, using ya as before or already. Then, as I said, there's basta ya, which is stop it already or enough already. More informal, knock it off, which means stop.
Then, of course, you can be very ironic with ya. Like if I were to say to Craig, you must meet my new girlfriend. I think you'd like her. And Craig says, well, who is it? I say, oh, it's Claudia Schiffer. I think he might go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's Schiffer, yeah. Yeah, in English, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. He doesn't believe me.
I don't believe you. It's ironic, yeah.
Any more?
No, but...
Ya está.
Ya está, that's it.
Yeah, is that it?
Ya está, that's it.
Yeah, that's a question. Is that it? Is that all? Yeah.
That's it for now. But before we leave you, we'd like to leave you with a poem written by Reza. So could you introduce your poem? What's it about?
Well, I wrote a poem about 3 or 4 years ago, and I thought about it when we were preparing this because it's related to words which are difficult to translate or maybe have no translation or can be used in many ways or are simply confusing. And it's called Going Forward. Because going forward is an expression which politicians and other people, but particularly politicians, like to use to seem really optimistic and forward thinking, going forward. But they put it in the middle of sentences or at the end of sentences, and it doesn't really add anything. It doesn't really have a meaning. It just sounds good because people hear, oh, forward. Oh, that politician's going forward. He's going forward, not going back. That would be bad. You know, it doesn't really mean anything.
So it gives the idea that they're looking ahead, that they're moving forward, that they're not stuck in the past. So I suppose it's trying to motivate the voters to vote for the future, not for the past.
Yeah.
Vote for change.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Okay. So please, Reza, please read your poem.
Okay. Well, you'll find it quite hard, but with a good dictionary, you might get some meaning out of it. But the idea of this poem is that you don't understand it. Let me say that in Spanish. La idea de este poema es que no lo entiendas. That is the idea, that you don't understand it. It's like politicians talking nonsense that sounds kind of good but doesn't really mean anything.
And remember, we'll have this poem written in the show notes to this episode at inglespodcast.com/127.
Oh, here goes. Going forward. As a valued literary stakeholder, all are welcome to this key verse in which you can decide how we will go forward together into the future. A future so full of a raft of broad-ranging initiatives in which we must all pool resources by supporting this latest proposal going forward. Due to present unavoidable circumstances, words must be properly managed and targeted primarily only to those most in need of them. Should any mistruth occur, per se, in accordance with best practice, it will be swiftly dealt with and those responsible will be held accountable. In terms of teamwork and leadership, verbal synergy will be the benchmark and core competency in the most encompassing global sense. In the face of growing misconception, it now only remains for me to tender my resignation in a bid to quell mounting concern that these lines are not fit for purpose.
Very, very nice. I didn't understand everything myself, but
me neither.
I did understand the message of playing with words and trying to sound a way that in the end makes you completely superfluous and incomprehensible. My favorite part of the poem was verbal synergy will be the benchmark and core competency in the most encompassing global sense. I love it. Very, very news speak and political.
Hopefully that poem means absolutely nothing to you. That's my intention.
And don't worry if you didn't understand many of the words, because neither did I.
Neither did I, and I wrote it.
And now it's your turn to practice your English. If you have a question for us or an idea for a future episode, please send us a voice message and tell us what you think. As usual, you can reach us verbally via speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. Or if you prefer to write, send us an email to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's belfastreza@gmail.com.
And if you would like more detailed show notes, you could support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/inglespodcast and join our lovely sponsors who are supporting the show. Lara, Farah, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Daniel, Manuel, Carlos y Manuel. Thank you, all of you, for continuing to support the show. On next week's episode, what are we speaking about, Reza?
We're speaking about... That's a good question, Craig. What are we speaking about? I've forgotten already. In the next episode, we'll be speaking about what's written on this piece of paper in front of me, which I didn't bother to read, which is vague language, ironically enough. We'll be talking about vague language.
I thought you were being vague.
I was being...
Your answer.
A bit too vague there, wasn't I? Yeah.
So next week, vague language. That's expressions like sort of, kind of, type of thing, etc. So join us next week for another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza. Goodbye from me.
And bye-bye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.